I just want to talk to you briefly about just a short message, and it's on God, about how He knows us and how we should know Him, and that He's, you know, of course, one of His attributes, He's all-knowing, but He knows our inner beings, you know, our mind, our heart. He's a knower of the heart, and that's what I want to talk to you about this afternoon. Pastor Dale in Sunday school was talking about knowledge. He's working in John. And he was talking about knowledge of God. But knowledge to know, to realize, to experience through the gift of the Holy Spirit, knowledge enlightens us. It's the highest knowledge, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the attention of a child of God. The name, the nature, the person, and the work, and the ways, and the existence of our great God. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. And however, what do we intend to do with this knowledge, as Pastor Dale was saying in Sunday school? How are we going to use this knowledge of God? We're attaining all this biblical knowledge. What are we going to do with it? And how is God going to use that as we put our lives in service to Him? And we take this knowledge once we attain it, and if we pursue it, biblical knowledge, just for the sake of knowing, saying, well, I know more than you do, you know, and that can lead into selfishness and pride. That's not the kind of usage we want to do with God's knowledge, but His word. But to be occupied with theological knowledge, as it's not an end to itself. It's for a purpose, you know, and God wants to use you with this knowledge so you can do what? Share it with other believers to help them mature and grow up and lead them to the knowledge of the truth, you know, where they might be, but they may not understand certain texts of scripture. And, our biblical studies too. There's, no higher motive, if you will, and then a desire to know the truth of scriptures, to have the answers. And God gives us the answers in His book, you know, and, I just want to say there's only one person who is all-knowing, and of course, that's God. And we should have the desire, the will and desire, like everyone else, to know Him. So let's pray and get started and look at some texts on God knowing us and how we can know God. Father, we thank You again this afternoon. We thank You for this time again together in Your Word. And we ask that You take Your Word through the Holy Spirit and enlighten us and help us to look more into the knowledge of You and realize that You are all known and You know us. You know our inner being. You know our mind, our thoughts. Thank You, Father. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Let's take a peek back in the Old Testament to get started. I want to take you to a Psalm. We'll look at Psalm 119. And as most of you know, Psalm 119 is one of the largest chapters in the Bible, and it contains 176 verses in this one particular chapter in Psalm. So we're not going to look at all 176 this afternoon. Let's just look at the first 11, please. Psalm 119, and we'll start off at verse 1 and we'll read down to verse 11. And the psalmist right here: blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgment. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. David is saying here that I'm going to hide Your word in my heart. I don't want to do any sin. I don't want to do any unrighteous thing. All David had was the laws and the commandments. And he said he just didn't let me hide it. I want to hide your laws, your commandments, you know. I want to hide them in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. That's our Old Testament concept. David was saying that God knows. And he says that he continues wanting to know God. You know, if you were to read this whole chapter, Psalm 119, that is, what you're going to come across is that David is just wanting to know God. That's one thing. That's our subject. He keeps asking in this whole chapter, Lord, teach me your ways. He wants God to teach him. He goes on and is saying several verses, Lord, make me. David wants God to make him what he should be. And then he says, revive me. And I'm not going to give you the verses, but if you have the opportunity to read Psalm 119, you're going to come across these points here. So he says, he keeps asking God, I want to know you. I want to teach him, make him, revive him, remove him. He said, Lord, remove him from anything that's not right. He doesn't want to be around unrighteousness. And he says in this chapter, give me understanding. Throughout the whole chapter, you're going to come across these points of concept. Teach me, make me, revive me, you know. And he really wants to know God and know God's word. The one who knows the heart. He knows David's intentions, his mind, his inner being, and his motive. King David wanted to understand God's truth in order that his heart might respond to it and his life be conformed to it, the word and the law and the commandments as he knew. But I wonder as believers today, how do we respond to God, knowing God? How do we respond to his word? And how do we react when we know that God is all knowing? What does that do to us? You know, he knows us, but how can we use that knowledge what we have attained from the Bible about him, the knower of the heart? That's your Old Testament example. I have another one here I want to look at concerning men in the Old Testament. And they found favor with God. It's sometimes translated grace in some of the texts. But I want to take you to Exodus chapter 33, please. And we'll look at verses 12 to 17. Genesis, Exodus 33, verse 12 to 17. And it says this in Exodus 33:12. It says, and Moses said unto the Lord, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace, favor in thy sight. Verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace, favor in thy sight, and consider that the nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found favor in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I would do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found favor in my sight, and I know thee by name. And you know, God knows our name, of course. And God was dealing with Moses, getting ready to use Moses to deliver the people of Israel. Matter of fact, the name Moses means deliverer. You know, Moses was a type of Christ. He was delivered the children of Israel out of slavery, Egyptian slavery. And when Pharaoh's daughter found Moses and took him out of the water, she named him, of course, Moses. She delivered him from the water. Moses' job was to, God was going to use Moses to deliver the people of Israel out of slavery and bring them to the promised land. But I want to take you to another attribute of God. We talked about that he's all-knowing. He expressed this in the prophet Jeremiah also, looking at Old Testament examples of this knowledge. Jeremiah, let's go to Jeremiah 1. You're in Exodus, just turn to the right. We were in Psalms, to the right of Psalms, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1. God expressed his all-knowing, his omniscience to Jeremiah in chapter 1. And let's just take a look at verses 4 and 5 of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. He set Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, to be his prophet, to speak to the people. Before I knew in the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The nation. And he says, he knew Jeremiah. He knew Moses. He knew David. But does he know us? Yes, he does. And how do we know him? How are we going to learn and continue to know God, our God? Now, the Old Testament speaks a lot about God. In the New Testament, we are introduced to all three persons of the Godhead. And God wants to know us. He does. But also, he wants us to know him. I want to look at now in the New Testament, let's turn to it. And I want to look at, this is a transition period here, but I want to look at John chapter 10, if you turn there. We'll look at the New Testament believers turn our knowledge about God into knowledge of God. Now, the Old Testament, that's taught us a lot about God, right? God the Father. But now let's go into the New Testament and look at this knowledge about God and how it's going to turn into knowledge of God. You're in John, and this part of John, Jesus was speaking here, and he was still dealing with Jews here. And he was giving them, teaching them, and they were thinking, yeah, this guy's supposed to be the Messiah, the Christ. But they wanted some more proof, or they wanted him to do some kind of miracles or something. And look what they said here in John chapter 10. We'll just look at one verse here, verse 27. But Jesus was trying to tell them who he was, but of course the Jews didn't believe him. But let's just look at verse 27. Finally, he told the religious Jews, he says, My sheep, John 10:27, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, that must have hit the religious Jews sort of hard because, you know, these are religious, pious men. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, you know, and I know them. So obviously they weren't part of the sheep because they weren't following Jesus. They just wanted to see that he was the Christ so they can exalt him and set up some kind of earthly throne and that they could rule and dominate at that time. Another example in the New Testament, in John 10, let's look at John 17. And look again at the word for know and knowledge and see what our Lord is saying here in that John 17. This is another prayer Jesus is praying here. We're in John 17. Look at two verses with me, verse 25 and 26. And the prayer of Christ. And he says this in verse 25. He prays, O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee, that thou hast sent me, sent from God. Christ is praying here. Verse 26, and I have declared, another word we could substitute for declared, we could say known. He said, I have declared, or known, made known unto them thy name, all which your name stands for. All the attributes, the qualities of God. He said, I have made known, I declared unto them thy name, and I will make it known. I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. and Christ is praying here to the Father, and he's praying this intimate prayer, and it relates to the knowledge, and he wants to declare or make known to his followers, those that believe in him, that the love which God has loved them, that he had loved me, may be in them, and I in them, Christ in us. And that's a prayer that Jesus wanted for his followers. You're in John. Let's look at another example of God knowing our hearts. Let's look at Acts. Just turn to the right of John and look at Acts chapter 1. And let's take a look at verses. Let's just take a look at verse 24 and then we go to chapter 15. Acts chapter 1, verse 24. And at this time, I'm jumping into the middle of it, but this is where the disciples were choosing another apostle. Of course, Judas was out of the picture at this time. So the disciples were deliberating on who should be the next apostle. So let's look at verse 24 as we jump in here. He says, "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knoweth the heart or hearts of all men, show whether of these two men thou hast chosen." So they had two choices to, let's look at verse 23. They had two choices to choose. "And they appointed Joseph called Barnabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias." So these were the two candidates. But listen to their prayer. Now they wanted to pick the right disciple. And look at that prayer. Listen to the prayer in verse 24. "And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, but you know the heart." We don't know the heart of Barnabas. We don't know Justus' heart. We don't know Matthias' heart, but God does. "And they pray, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two men you have chosen." They wanted God to have, they wanted to have the right choice to become the next apostle after they lost Judas. You're in Acts 1. Just go back with me to, chapter 15. You're in Acts 1. Go to chapter 15, please. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. And take a look at verses 5 through 9. Acts chapter 1. I'm sorry, Acts 15. And look at verses 5 through 9. Acts 15, verse 5. "But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter." Verse 7. "And when these had been much, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." So God was dealing with the Jews, but he was at the same time reaching out to the Gentile believers. And Peter said this. He said that the Gentiles by their mouth should hear the word of the Lord. And he said, God knows, verse 8, "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear witness, giving them the Holy Spirit." God knew the desires. He knew the inner part of these Gentile believers. And he said that Peter said that they could receive the Holy Spirit just as these Jewish believers did. You're in Acts 15. I want to bring you to Romans chapter 8, just one verse there, verse 27. And what this verse is going to talk about, that God searches our heart. He searches the heart. He knows the mind. And he does it so, and carries out his will, or the will of the Father, by using us. Look at Romans chapter 8. You're in Acts. Just turn to the right. Romans 8. Just look at one verse with me. verse 27. Paul writes here in Romans, he says, and he that searches the heart, he knows the heart, but he also searches our inner being, our mind. He says, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he says here, he searches the heart, but he knows the mind of the Spirit. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit enlightens our mind to do God's will. And that's what this verse is stipulating for us. I want to go to our next point, and it's that man can know the things of God when he is willingly led by the Spirit of God. Look at 1 Corinthians. You're in Romans, turn to the right again to 1 Corinthians, and we'll look at chapter 2 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 11. Paul writes here again to the Corinthian church at Corinth. He says here in verse 11 of chapter 2, for what man knoweth the things of a man? Now, another person doesn't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking right now. I hope we're thinking about God. God says he's explaining it in the word. But he says, for no man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of that man. You know, that man knows what he's thinking. His spirit, his human spirit. And he says, save the spirit of a man, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God that indwells us, he knows the things of God, the ways of God, the acts of God. How is God going to get his word, get his truth in our lives so we can apply it to our everyday living, so we can apply it to the way we're going to be used to carry out his will? He knows, the Holy Spirit knows what's in he knows the mind of God, that is. Another point I want to take you to, you in 1 Corinthians, just turn to the right in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's look at the first four verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and this particular section of scriptures, it says that we're living letters written in our hearts. And that's a lot of writing going on. I get emails, I get probably 40, 50 emails a day when I'm working. A lot of information is passed on. What type of information are we passing on with our lives? As we learn the knowledge of God, and as God knows us, and he knows our heart, if our heart desire, our innermost being, is it set to pleasing God, doing the things of God? Look what he says here, Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul says this, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal and unto babes in Christ. So they weren't being a very good example. They weren't using their knowledge about God in their lives. So this is a poor example. So Paul is admonishing them. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal, fleshly. I mean, they were just caught up in the things of the flesh. Whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, and are ye not carnal? He asked the question. And walk as mere men? You know, but Paul said, no, we want you to walk as a child of God, a spiritual man, one that's walking in the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 4, he says this, for while one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, and ye are ye not carnal? See, they were following men again. Oh, I am of Paul, I'm of Apollos, you know. So they were picking and choosing who they wanted to be like, who they wanted to follow. And he said, that's carnal. That's not what we should be doing. We're living letters written in our heart by the Spirit of God. Another point I want to make to you is about what can we come to know about the qualities of God, qualities about God. What can we come to know the qualities? How can we come to know the qualities about God? One verse here we'll look at, and that's Galatians again, chapter 4. Let's turn to the right. Galatians chapter 4 And let's just look at one verse here, Galatians chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 9. Paul writing here to the Galatians, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Again, the Galatians were having problems. They wanted to go back into the bondage of the law. They wanted the chains of the law to restrict their livelihood. And that is not the qualities we know about God. God had given them grace. The Galatians were saved by grace, but they said, we want to go back into the bondage of the law and live under the law. And that's not a quality. That's not the quality of life God wanted him to live. You're in Galatians now. Turn with me to the right again to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. And let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Paul again writing here to the Colossian believers in chapter 1. Look at verse 9 and 10 with me. Paul says this, for this cause, we'd have to read the previous verses to find out the cause. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, when the Holy Spirit reveals God's word to us, and we get an understanding of it, of this knowledge of God's word, we begin to know it, like Pastor Dale was saying, this intuitive knowledge. God, the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and the knowledge you have attained, and he applies it to your life and teaches you wisdom. Wisdom is a direct product from knowledge. You know, you can't exercise good wisdom, good choices for God, you know, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you unless you have knowledge of the word of God. You can't have one without the other. You're in Colossians 1. Let's look at verse 26. We just looked at verse 9 and 10. Look at verse 26. Paul continues to write, even the mystery which had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest, or we can say again, made known to his saints. See, God is going to give you this knowledge of his mysteries, several mysteries. But he's talking about the mysteries of, to the Gentiles, that they could also receive Christ and receive the Holy Spirit. But this came through, of course, the knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives to the saints. You're in verse 26. Just look at chapter 2. Let's look at one other verse in chapter 2 of Colossians. Look at verse 3 with me of chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul continues to write. Well, let's read verse 1 through 3. Let's read the first three verses. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. And we're talking about understanding. We're actually reading about understanding the ways of God, understanding the word of God and the knowledge of God, so we can exercise wisdom in our life. Verse 2 again, that their hearts, their inner being, their soul, their mind, their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Knowledge of God the Father, knowledge of God the Son, coming from the work and gift of the Holy Spirit's giving you that knowledge and understanding. And verse 3, in whom are hidden the knowledge of God the Father, the knowledge of the Son, verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. True wisdom, true knowledge, true understanding comes from God. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to conclude by saying this, that the hope we have that we gain through knowledge and understanding and of course the Word of God. It's a living hope, and it's produced by the Holy Spirit to give us knowledge to live out the glory of God. God has planned for us. Our teaching, our preaching, Bible study, everything that we do to attain this knowledge from the Word of God turns into wisdom. The Holy Spirit takes the Word, like we said earlier, and He shows us how to apply it to our life, how we can guide our life according to God's Word. And we will have this opportunity to grow and to know God, to learn the full experience, the presence that is, and position we have in Jesus Christ. Without this knowledge, we can't live in our position, and we can't really be obedient to the presence of the Holy Spirit that's indwelling us. We need this knowledge of God. The one who knows the heart instructs us to be together in love. We're one. We're one body, one church. So we should be together in love and in all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and the Son. We were looking at, when we started this study, we looked at Psalm 119. And I want to end with that. David said this, King David. He was one of the wisest kings that ever lived. He was a man after God's own heart. Jeremiah, one of the most famous prophets in the Bible. Jeremiah was one of the most dedicated priests and prophets in the Old Testament, whom God trusted to transpose His word and to prophesy about the knowledge of God in the Old Testament. And how does that apply to our life? Will you and I allow God to use us to know that our spirit, our soul, our mind are His? He knows the heart, and if He knows our heart, He knows our intentions and what we desire to do and to please Him and to live for Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for really giving us the opportunity to know you through the word. And as your Holy Spirit takes the word and gives us the illumination and understanding so we can live out the Christian life, we can know our position in Christ, and that we can take this opportunity that we have to live out the Christian life so we can be pleasing to you, love our brothers, and be a light and exercise the hope that we have of serving the living God. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.